Good morning, folks. It's time for Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show about the crucial political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Join us for a stimulating, thought-provoking discussion. You'll get the facts as we focus on the challenges facing everyone. Good morning, folks. Welcome to Democratic Perspective. Steve Williamson here. We have a full house today, Mike.
We do have a full house of wonderful. We like doing environmental shows, and this is one of them. Steve beats me until Mike Costantino here, and we do environmental shows, and this is as close as we get here. We got some great folks here. We're going to start right here on my right. Start with Brent Bitz, lately, and these people are going to fill in the blanks on some of these things, but lately of the Audubon Society and other things, and certainly as Chip Norton, lately of the Friends of the Verde Greenway and other things. And none of these guys have a single association. They have multiple associations. So we got Bob Rothrock, who's been on the show before, as Chip has. To talk about Friends of the Verde Greenway and the things that he's involved with, Verde River Day and the kayaking stuff, I have some serious kayaking questions I want to ask you, because everybody and their grandmother and their great-grandmother is in kayak these days. And so
when I went on the river in a kayak, I tipped over. I was the only person on the entire group who tipped over and landed in the water.
You might as well get that out of the way early.
That's important enough to have the top.
It was
show
really back. Horrible. I mean, yes, we used to kayak back east, and the other thing is that you're in a kayak and under your head is floating down toward the bottom of the stream. It's not as comfortable. The Verde River is a really beautiful river to kayak on.
That's why these guys are trying to raise awareness of the river. This is like a really long setup for you guys, but the two statistics that I mentioned just before we went on the air was that we can fight about this, that in my estimation, 85% of the Verde Valley has never been in, on, or at the river. So I'm covering all the prepositions there. And I'm going to throw Oak Creek in there. We had that argument that a lot of people that come to this town, we're broadcasting from Sedona, that they come for a lot of reasons, but the creek for many people is not one of them, as part of the Verde River watershed and that kind of thing. So let's talk, folks, about, we're going to start right here. Brent, tell us who you are and what are we going to talk about today?
Okay, well, this morning we'll talk about Friends of the Verde River Greenway. I'm on the board of the Friends of the Verde River Greenway. I came to that from my position as a board member of the Verde River Basin Partnership, which earlier this year merged with Friends. That's one of the things we'd like to talk about, which is the consolidation of some of the community river organizations with the goal of making them stronger and increasing our impact and our assistance to the community.
On the Verde River Greenway website, you got the Verde River Friends of the Verde River Greenway, you got the Verde Exchange, you're going to tell us about that in a second, and you have one for the Verde. So these are the three things I see on this, what's become this Consolidated River Group website.
I think it's very important to consolidate. The big complaint against environmental groups is siloing, that each environmental group has its own silo, its own fundraising, its own everything, and that there isn't enough interconnection. And so on a national level, that remains true, but it looks like you folks are actually consolidating, coordinating your efforts.
Well, if I could address that point, I was on the board of the Verde River Basin Partnership for a number of years, and that organization had been a very active voice for preservation of our water resources for about a decade. It was a science-based organization which produced, in partnership with U.S. Geological Survey, a really important study on human impact on the Verde River's base flow. It did a number of community outreach events every year. And so it was really a science and education organization. But we realized that we had really reached sort of the end of what we could do in terms of increasing the engagement and the knowledge with the community. And so at the end of last year, we got in touch with our colleagues at Friends of the Verde River Greenway and discussed the idea of merging, because we realized together we would be stronger. Chip will talk about Friends more, but we could take the science and education component, our fundraising component, and between the two of us, we could keep our overhead costs down, strengthen our fundraising ability, and increase our effectiveness at being a community resource to address the issues associated with the declining base flows of the Verde River. So it's been a tremendous success. We merged on January the 1st, and I know Chip will talk about the various programs, but we're really excited about this transition and the direction it's taken us.
That's it. You guys do a lot, and I know promotion in the Verde Valley has a struggle for everyone because there's not necessarily an abundance of central places to go for information, but you do a lot, so we want to talk about that. I know events are going to come up eventually because we got lots of them coming up in this season. But talk about Friends and those other two organizations I mentioned, Chip, if you would.
Okay, I think what I'll do is I'll talk about Friends, and then I think Brent did a good job of bringing you up to snuff on the Verde River Basin Partnership, and Bob can do the same with Verde River Valley Nature Organization, which is a an events-based conservation group.
Yeah.
So, and those are the two groups that merged into Friends. So Friends started in 2007. It was just a small volunteer group that was working as an affiliate of the Arizona State Parks Foundation. I joined the organization in 2009, and since then we've just gradually grown, expanded the work that we do. I think what we recognize as is doing boots on the ground work and working one-on-one with landowners and elected officials and business leaders to get things done. So I think that the big focus of our group has been taking a long time to build relationships and building trust with members of the community, and then taking that relationship to get things done on the ground. So, and we've continued to increase our capacity both with staff and revenue. So I think we were kind of the likely continuing entity because we had the capacity to consolidate a lot of these different efforts so that we had common messaging and not a scattershot effort. I think you did a great job of explaining this or typifying this as a siloed effort, which, you know, it's like a pond can only hold so many fish, and it's the same with conservation groups. You know, you take the Verde Valley or the Verde Watershed, you can't support five or six river conservation groups. Those groups really need to consolidate to have the impact that they need to have to preserve Verde River flows and offer everything that we need to carry this effort forward.
Tell us about one for the Verde.
Okay. So I'm going to back up a little bit from that question and say basically Friends has three thematic areas we work in.
There you go.
One is habitat restoration, and we've been working for many years with veterans crews of recent era veterans and youth conservation crews. They're out on the ground removing invasive species and doing habitat restoration work. I think in the last 5 years we've restored close to 9,000 acres of riparian restoration.
Wow.
And we have stewardship agreements with over 225 landowners in the Verde Valley that have riparian areas on their land. It's actually about 60% of the flowing rivers and streams in the Verde Valley. This gets back to the building trust to get things done on the ground part. And then
how does that work exactly when you're working with landowners?
Well, you go have a conversation with folks, and we try to approach it on a neighborhood level. And find a neighborhood, find out who might be the champion in that neighborhood, sit down and have conversations with those folks. A lot of times, especially on Oak Creek, this giant bamboo-like plant called Arundo has sort of taken over the riparian area. It has a very negative impact on fish and wildlife, but it also has a negative impact on the landowner. They don't know how to manage it. The native vegetation is disappearing. They don't have good access to the river because you can't find your way through this stuff. It's impenetrable. And we sit down and have these conversations with the landowner on, would it be okay if we had some veterans crews or youth crews come in and work with them on getting this stuff out of there? Are they willing to do the long-term maintenance and monitoring that needs to happen for this to be a permanent solution? And we were told at the outset, nobody's going to agree to that. But the fact is, this is a deal that has no political aspect to it at all, and you would think it would, but it doesn't matter if you're Tea Party or very progressive liberal. People that live on rivers and streams really love that place. It's an important place to them, and they love having the wildlife there, and they don't like to see it impaired. They don't necessarily want to see any regulations or anybody coming from the outside, but when they're part of the solution, they're great partners.
So 225, how long did it take you to get them?
Oh, probably about 3 years.
That's great.
We actually had to stop the effort because more landowners wanted to sign on than we could keep up with.
I think that's great. I think that figuring out a way to work with people, particularly with landowners connected to the river, is really a wonderful idea. It sounds like you've made some progress because, as Michael said, I'm not a member of a river organization, but we do worry about the river, and I've been on it. So I think that's great that you found a way to work with landowners. Do we want to ask Bob a question here?
Third person? Yeah. Well, I want to let Chip finish this thing on Verde Greenway. I think we've got.
Okay, so I'll finish going over our programmatic work. So the one thematic area is habitat restoration, and I described that effort there with the landowners and also with public land managers. The next one is sustaining flows, and we have a couple of programs that we're working with there. One is the Verde River Exchange, which is a water offset program, and the other one is the Land and Water Toolbox, which is a set of tools that we can work with local land planners on to integrate land planning and water planning rather than have them siloed in two separate silos, to use that term. And the third thing is promoting community stewardship, and that's where just working with community members on volunteer projects, one for the Verde, I finally tied it in, is part of that, and that's engaging the business community to help do recreation and restoration projects on the Verde River.
That's a catchy name, and so you hear people in some cases don't know anything else about the river organizations. They've heard of one for the Verde.
That's a good segue to Bob Rothrock because he's the person that came up with that name.
Well, there you go. All right. Who knew?
Good morning. Thanks for having us here, Mike and Steve. I came to this table having been a member of the Verde River Valley Nature Organization. We're an events organization, and we like to get people down to the river and have them experience the river firsthand, whether they're riding in a kayak or looking at birds through various events. And in this way, I feel very strongly that this is really key to the ultimately preserving the river, because you get people down there having a good time and they don't want to see this go away. They become true believers.
Well, that's it. That's the philosophy. I want to kind of underscore that by saying that, raising awareness, that getting people to use the river is the key to saving it. That it's really easy for a place like the Verde Valley of Sedona to get busy, to get industrial, to get business oriented and go about the daily things of life and forget about some of the resources that were, generated life here and still mean an awful lot to the local economy. And so as creating or heightening awareness of the river is the key to saving it. Certainly VRVNO, Verde River Valley Nature Organization, Bob's organization, believes that. But in some way, that's their task, but it impacts all of the river groups. So tell us about some of the things that I know that you do. And I did go to the VRVNO. I saw the bird festival.
Gee.
You're going to tell us about that. I saw, yeah.
Did you see any of the birds?
I'm not a bird guy. I
forgot his binoculars.
That's right. I'm glad they're out there. I like them, but I don't want to know too much about them. It would destroy the magic for me. I saw the Moonlight Hikes. Another great idea. I know that was stolen directly from Red Rock State Park, but that's fine. That's one of those ideas you should steal and you should replicate. So what else does VRVNO do? What else does something about kayaks?
Well, VRVNO, like the partnership, decided that we would be stronger together, to quote somebody else. We decided that it would be in the best interest of our organization and hopefully in Friends of the Verde River that we would consolidate. I've worked with a lot of different conservation organizations, and when it came to fundraising, I'd talk to people, call people, and say, which organization is this now?
Yeah,
it was confusing to people.
Sure.
And I think having a one-stop shop is really going to improve our collective impact.
Right.
I have a question for you. You don't have to answer it now. I want to put it out there. And the question is if you guys would address it in different ways, is what don't people know about the Verde Valley that they should know? If you had important information you wanted to get to people, what would it be? What do people know that they should know?
Well, as far as the river's concerned, I think people could learn a lot at Verde River Days, which is an annual event coming up this year on Saturday, September the 30th. All different kinds of organizations that are involved with the Verde and the riparian zone will be there demonstrating what they do. There's fun events for kids. There's canoe rides for adults. And on Sunday, October the 1st, there's canoe rides for the general public that are guided, designed for newbies to get people who've never been on the river get a small taste of what it's like to float down
the river. I just got my invitation in the mail, like I said, guided canoe paddle October 1st, leaving at 8 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Part of the Verde River Day celebration, and that's on the 30th, September 30th. I want to mention that on September 29th, you have a Celebrate the River event.
That's right. At the Old Town Center for the Arts, there's a Celebrate the River concert, features songwriters who've developed written Verde River songs. They perform them there, and the public gets to vote for which is the best one.
I did hear on the grapevine that they only have 6 entries as of when I heard it a few days ago.
Well, we only need a few good ones.
Well, that's it. I agree, but I think she probably likes more entries. So we're making an announcement. If you got that river song that you've been thinking about for all these years, it's time to jot it down and get it over to VRVNO. I want to talk about that too. I know this. I don't believe anybody ever got anywhere going in a straight line. You guys have an office, which is like really cool. You know, you guys actually can afford an office. What happens at this office? I mean, boil stuff
Well, it's a little different than the TV show, The Office.
okay, good.
Although
that's good.
Conservationists can be pretty eccentric, but
yes,
we don't have any Steve Carells there. we have quite a bit of staff. We have approximately 5 full-time staff members.
Wow.
2 part-time staff members and an intern. And, when you get to a certain critical mass, you need a place to work. Everybody can't do that from their den.
Right.
And,
as they've been doing.
Which is what tends to happen with the smaller conservation groups.
Sure.
So, and also, I think when you get to a certain size, you need a face. Need a place where people can drop in, and we like that having that storefront that if people are interested in finding out what the local conservation groups are doing, or what, how to get updated information on the state of the watershed, I'll call it, they can stop off at our office. And you know,
where is it? What's the address you want to?
Gosh, we just moved to the, our new office. It's right next to the Hillside Deli in Cottonwood on Main Street. It's across from Dairy Queen, but I don't know the physical address.
These are major landmarks.
So
Gingerbread House.
We know where it is in relation to the Dairy Queen.
Yeah, that's it.
The Nature's Pantry is there.
We'll give her a plug on here.
And I
apologize to the landlord for not
Metro Hair. We can advertise all the businesses.
Exactly.
And they're all on the sign. But yes, Hill.
But I know it's pretty handy for the staff to be able to walk out a door, and 30 feet across from that is a door into the deli. So I think they'll get a lot of business from our staff.
Yeah, we don't even mention the Dairy Queen after the deli. Anyway.
But I did want to circle back to your question, is what is it people need to know about the Verde River? And I think some of it is they just have to go to the river. Because what they're going to learn is stuff that they can't read or they can't hear on the radio, because it's more visceral. They just need to go spend time in the river, and then they'll learn a lot about why it's an important place. And this other information about, well, because agriculture needs this water and the different communities need water, that's good data they can pick up from us. But I think if you spend time in the river, which again is the purpose of the events, That's an important thing they need to know, and that's more of a getting to know in the gut. The other part, I think it's important that people recognize that the river flow is threatened, and that if we don't change the way we do things, the way we manage and use water, that it's at risk. But at the same time, to know that there are solutions, and we've made a lot of progress in the last decade. So rather than that there's a threat and it's hopeless, there is a threat, but it's pretty impressive, right? You know, people are pretty good at dealing with things when they get to the crisis stage. They're not so good at dealing with things that are 20 years out. That's not just river conservation.
No, that's house maintenance.
That's everything. And I think, to me, that would be something that's important to know. Brent, I don't know if you want to.
Yeah, I would like to mention the economic value of the river. About 5 or 6 years ago, the Nature Conservancy did an econometric study, and when you consider all the agricultural benefits and economic value that the river provides, the tourism, watchable wildlife benefits that the river provides, they came up with a figure of well over $100 million a year in economic value to the residents of the Verde Valley from this river. And often the river's economic value is not really considered. Chip and Bob have mentioned all the wonderful things about recreation and all of that. But it is a very important economic engine for our community, and to the extent that in the long term the river is damaged on a permanent basis, the economic vibrancy of the Verde Valley will also be negatively impacted. All you have to do is look around other places in the American West to see what's happened when they've lost their water resources or things like that. And as Chip has mentioned, there's some good solutions that are available to us now so that we can preserve the economic health of our community as well as the recreational benefits.
We'll talk about solutions. I do want to talk about, referring Chip's thing, I want to talk about TAPCO, the river access point, the river, the RAP, as you guys call it, at Clarkdale on the Sycamore Canyon Road. If you haven't been there, get there today. Get there this week. What a beautiful, beautiful spot on the Verde River, and with many uses. I mean, and just going down there and hanging out. I mean, there's a couple of picnic tables down there. I saw a bunch of horses wandering around, drinking and doing, you know, their horsey thing. I don't know that somebody grazes them there, or they
probably pay those horses to hang out in the area for
a contract horse.
Yeah, well, that makes perfect sense. But seriously, there was folks swimming, there was people loading kayaks, there's a kayak launch thing there. and just a really, really, really nice spot on the river, with where the river is still flowing and has a lot of just a perfect riparian environment. But I want to get Bob in here to talk about his kayak event, because it's a big deal. You're still doing a kayak race, or are we not doing that anymore?
Oh, sure we are, Mike.
Okay.
Yeah, that comes around every March. It's called the Verde River Runoff. It's the third Saturday in March down in Camp Verde. It's a 10-mile canoe and kayak race and stand-up paddle boards. With prizes for the winners. It's a really good time.
It's a big deal.
All we need to do is think snow, and then we have a nice runoff, and a lot of people show up, and it's a lot of fun.
Well, it is that magic flow, right? You want enough flow to have, you know, people
to cover up the rocks is really nice,
and then not so much that you're straining. You know,
covers up your eyeballs.
Yeah, exactly. It covers up your eyeballs, and so you hope for that magic day on the magic.
We want to be in the sweet spot.
So where do people, if they have bad memories like Mike and I, where do people find out information on all your events? Is there a central site, website? Or
just like everything else, you go online. So the central website about events is vrvno.org, Verde River Valley Nature Organization.org, and you find about all of our events. That's also where you can go to get a spot on the guided canoe and kayak rides on October the 1st.
There you go. I won't say actually worked. Bob would argue with that word, but I did spend some time associated with the race 1 year, and I learned about things like inflatable kayaks. Who knew you could race an inflatable kayak? Who knew there were inflatable kayaks? Probably everybody but me. But then there's all these standard kayaks, and these people with the stand-up boards that...
those guys are some of the fastest on the river. There's only a few... canoe and kayakers who can beat the stand-up paddle guys.
Impressive.
That looks pretty hard to do, the stand-up board guys.
I would tend to agree with you.
I don't think Mike and I are going to do that anytime soon. I think inflatable kayaks are more our style.
There you go.
I don't think that's going to solve your problem of having had a bad experience. I think it'll add to it.
Exactly.
And I would like to say that Bob gave the Vervno website, but that actually the Friends of Verde River Greenway has now incorporated that into their website, which is verderivergreenway.org.
Yes, and that sound effect was just to have a little environmental thing going on here.
So what is the address again for folks?
www.verderivergreenway.org.
And
river runners always have crickets in their pockets.
Right. And so you can find all the information about the river consolidated or being consolidated in one website.
Exactly.
Okay. Yeah.
We talked about some of the problems. And as far as I'm concerned, the biggest problem is losing the river in its flow. I'm kind of on the negative side of that. I've said at this microphone before that, in the next generation, the Verde River is going to be gone. But you guys are arguing with that, and that's great. I want to hear that. I want to hear that it's going to be around for at least another generation. And so I'm going to agree with you. It's going to be around. What are some of the solutions? I guess we've sort of hit on them, but let's and even if we have to repeat, let's focus on what we can do to keep this resource.
Well, I think in general terms, it's the changing the way that elected officials and community leaders approach water management and water use. There's been a lot of progress made in that. I mean, the Phoenix metropolitan area, their population has increased significantly in the last couple of decades. Their consumptive use of water has not increased at all. And that's because they had the foresight to change the way they managed water. And that's what we need to continue to do, because long-term, supply doesn't look like it's going to increase.
We're talking to Chip Norton. We're talking to Brent Bissman. We're talking to Bob Rothrock about the Verde River and how to maintain it, and some solutions and some events and all sorts of things. We want to go ahead, Bob.
Here's something anybody can do.
All right.
Before you go out to shop, go to oneforthevertie.org and find out what businesses are supporting the preservation and restoration of the Verde River. And then go to those businesses and shop at those businesses, because those businesses, either by customer contributions or because of their interest and desire to see the Verde River preserved, are contributing to programs that get school children to the river. They're contributing to programs that are directly involved in improving the river experience for people who go there. So again, anybody can, you can choose where to spend your money. Vote with your dollars and shop at One for the Verde businesses. When you go in the door, say, I'm here because you support One for the Verde.
I want to get some of this in too, that be calling, and for as much a reason it names other organizations that you might want to look at, that one of our guests here today, Chip Norton, received an award of merit from the environmental for environmental stewardship at the Arizona Forwards event and for environmental excellence. And this is they're in partnership with the Salt River Project. We want to talk about one of the other things I want to talk about are the bubbling ponds, Brent.
Brent. Yeah, what are the bubbling ponds?
Brent's bubbling.
Because I've been by the bubbling ponds maybe 10,000 times, and I've looked at the sign and thought, well, I should go take a look at what these are, but I never did it.
Well, you should.
Okay, well, the bubbling ponds are a natural spring associated with Oak Creek. And perhaps the most well-known aspect of bubbling ponds is the Arizona Game and Fish Hatchery, which is located right adjacent. It's actually on both sides of Oak Creek, just where the Page Springs Road crosses over the creek itself. And Game and Fish has a fish hatchery that raises both native fish and sport fish. And the Northern Arizona Audubon has had a long relationship with Game and Fish. They're a terrific group of people, the Game and Fish folks. And a couple of years ago, we got together and created what is called a Bubbling Ponds Preserve, which it basically took sort of overgrown trail system, cleaned it up, added signage, seating, viewing decks, with the idea that the public would come out to see the wonderful selection of birds that are out there, of course, being the Audubon Society, that's
yes,
the focus.
That would be the focus.
But also to emphasize the value of the riparian habitat to the community. Oak Creek and the associated bubbling ponds itself are really unique. The cottonwood willow forest gallery is extremely rare throughout the American Southwest, and we have a terrific example. So now we have a situation where visitors from all over the country are now coming out to both see the birds, locals are walking their dogs, and appreciating the facility that both that Game and Fish has for sport fishing and native fishing, and enjoying themselves. So this has been a terrific win-win, and I encourage everyone to come out and just pull into the parking lot off of Page Springs Road and have a look. This fall, you'll see lots of migratory birds coming through. I was out there 2 days ago, and we saw summer tanagers and the common blackhawk, which is quite a rare raptor that actually nests here. So it's an exciting and wonderful place to visit.
And it's only 10 miles from Sedona, according to this news article. And I've been out there. I've visited out there. The I've seen ducks. I've seen geese. I've seen all sorts of things. And there's nothing, I don't know, more thrilling than a ducks or geese rising off a pond. And more noisy, by the way. I had to look around. I thought, sure, a 747 was landing behind me, which seemed a little out of context, but
the Audubon Society also has a website, doesn't it, that identifies birds. So if you want, folks, if you wonder what a bird is, you can just go on the Audubon. Also, you can do the calls. We saw a very rare hawk in one of the canyons, and I had to go on the Audubon Society, and I couldn't even identify it visually. It was by plane. It's very distinctive cry. So there's a tremendous amount of information on the National Audubon Society for people who want to know what the birds are. Right?
Well, if you go to northernarizonaaudubon.org, which is our local chapter here, we have information about all the bird viewing places, our monthly meetings. Coincidentally, there's one this Wednesday night at 7 o'clock in the Sedona Library. But I would like to emphasize Audubon's commitment to riparian areas and preservation of our habitat, because as Chip and Bob have talked about, we have this really unique jewel of a Verde Valley, and our goal in Audubon, as well as with friends and Vervno, et cetera, is to preserve that not only for ourselves but our future generations. We have something that is wonderfully unique. And again, to bang on the economic development drum a bit, brings in people from all over the country and, in fact, around the world to see what we have here. As a birder, I've been out at many of these places, run into people from England, Germany, Holland, Canada, who have come to the Verde Valley in large part to see the outdoors and the watchable wildlife. And we really want to encourage that, because it helps all of our businesses and the jobs for everyone.
So the when we're talking about Verde River organizations, we've seemed to have covered that this morning. And the consolidation and the fundraising, and the office is kind of cool. I've been up to the office, and it looks exactly like you would expect an environmental office look like. There's it's has this combination of
pictures of birds.
I believe there are some pictures of birds, and it's a great place. It's great to have that hub, having been involved a little bit over the years with
and I think that's a really good point, because conservation starts out protecting a particular species, and I think that what's happened, right, is that you realize you have to protect the environment in which the species live. In other words, just trying to save the trees, you have to save the environment, the river environment, the riparian area that produces the thing that then supports the bird population, the animal population and stuff. And so beginning to think like this has been working its way into conservation ideas for a long time. And I hope that people out there understand that you have to preserve, what would you call it, the environment that creates the river. The river needs to be cared for, right, at this point. There's too many people here to not also be concerned and care for the river, because human beings impact it in such a way that we have to figure out what to do about it.
Well, Chip, maybe you want to mention the Verde River Exchange and our relationship with the wine industry in terms of doing exactly what you're saying, Steve. It's been a tremendous benefit. So,
yeah, when you talk about caring for the river, and we already touched on the habitat restoration and working on the vegetative structure, but another, I would say, more important component is you have to have water. Because without that water, you're not going to have that habitat. And so we have a couple programs that specifically address water and how to sustain flows in the Verde River. One's called the Verde River Exchange, and it's a water offset program where a business can purchase water credits that are created when another entity forgoes their use of water. And right now that tends to be surface water users that may be irrigating marginal land that doesn't provide them with a great return on investment. So, for example, Page Spring seller Eric Lomsky, they offset 5 acres of the water use on 5 acres of their vineyard that is pumped water, so that they have a net zero impact on the water use for their business. Merkin Vineyard and Osteria in Cottonwood have done the same. Out of Africa Wildlife Park has done the same, and they've offset their water use for part of their business, as well as another business in Camp Verde called the Fish's Garden, which has an aquaponics venture, and they supply fresh vegetables to local restaurants.
And so they offset it how?
Well, here's how it works. Like, there may be a landowner that irrigates their land, and they're not getting a great return on their investment for that irrigation. And for a sum of money, they will forego irrigating that land for a month or whatever. And then you have a buyer of the credits, which are the businesses like the Vineyards or Out of Africa or Fish's Garden, that will pay, which is a modest sum of money,
right,
to purchase those credits. And that way, as a responsible business owner that wants to operate in a sustainable way, they're operating at least a portion of their businesses, if not all, where they have just a net zero impact on their water.
So watering their grapes is offset by this.
Right, so they're not, you know, all of us here use water, so we're all part of the problem, and we can all be part of the solution. And they've chosen as business leaders because those two vineyard owners are definitely at the forefront of the vineyard.
Yeah, they are.
Effort here in the Verde Valley.
Well, listen, we're listening to Chip Norton here on Democratic Perspective this morning, and I want to got to get some things in before we run out of time. Democrats of the Red Rocks, one of our supporters, have a couple events coming up this month. We got Tom O'Halloran will be here. Our man in Washington will be speaking at Old Sedona Bar and Grill this Thursday at 8:30 a.m. You might want to go catch Tom O'Halloran, find out what's going on in D.C. I'm sure it'll be informative. We want to talk about another DOR event, another Democrats of the Red Rocks event. They're doing an event here at the Sedona Performing Arts Hub, October 8th. The American Great American Songbook. They're having a musical event this year, sort of replaced their annual picnic. But out at the Sedona Hub on Posse Grounds Road, you'll find Susanna Martin and Patrick Key and somebody else will be doing a.
And you can find that on the DOR website.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's full
go to the
information.
DOR
this is a new kind of event instead of a picnic that they've had. A musical event, food, mic, and drink and. And, you know.
So we want to, if you're looking for ways to support the environmental organizations we've had on this morning, we did still, whenever you talk about the Verde River, we're still going to be throwing a lot of names at you, but there's fewer names. And if you go to the websites, I think it's very clear. And hopefully we made this show, as all our shows, will be available at vbid.org.
We want to thank Steve Segner, El Portal, for their support for
Steve
the show.
Steve Segner over at El Portal and his crew, will be, putting the breakfast on pretty soon.
And we have, our fundraiser is going to be at El Portal on the 27th. It's, $30. It's, all the food and wine you can drink or soda, whatever you have. It's going to be marvelous entertainment. Even Tom Tabak is going to be there. And we're gonna do a radio show. So if you always wanted to ask us questions and we don't take calls because we're too lazy, this is a great chance to get out there and ask us any question, silly or not, that you might want to. So that's
Please
the 27th.
Leave your guns at home and come out El Portal in the shadow of Tlaquepaque.
It's a beautiful place. It's overhung with Concord grapes, which my favorite grape. We're constantly munching them while we talk.
He has spent a lot of money trying to make it look
beautiful.
Like it's a thousand
place,
years old.
Good food and drink, wine auction. Anything else, Mike? Well, we want to thank you guys for coming in. And, you know, as Mike said, I think before the show, maybe said on the show, we constantly have Verde River people coming and speaking, because it's important to us to keep contact with environmental organizations. I think a consolidation, which sounds like a sort of bureaucratic technical thing, is really great for the environment. I think getting coordinated so that they're not separate silos. I remember writing checks to dozens of different environmental groups and wondering if they ever talk to each other or, you know, what was going on. So I think this is wonderful. And these folks have an office that you can go and visit. It's right near the Dairy Queen in the deli in Cottonwood.
Doesn't get any better than that. Yes, sir. Okay, so don't forget, you can find Democratic Perspective at vbid.org. Find Democratic Perspective Podcast at vbid.org.
You've been listening to Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show focusing on the political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and our nation at large. Catch us every Monday morning after the 8 a.m. news and our Saturday replay after the noon news right here on AM 780 KAZN. It's beautiful out there, folks. Have a great day.